Sum Total. You are now listening to Minorities in Business with Evan Serrano.
What's going on, everybody? You're now listening to Minorities in Business. I'm your host, Edwin Serrano. Minorities in Business is a show dedicated to shedding a light on today's top entrepreneurs, creatives, and industry leaders within the minority community as they share tips and resources to help sustain and grow minorities' businesses. It's my pleasure to speak with today's guest, Andres Tardio. Andres is a music journalist, photographer who contributes to Billboard, Complex, MTV News, and a variety of print and online publications. Andres, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Thanks for your time. So, Andres, why don't you tell us your origin story?
Well, I started out many years ago, like 2005. I started out in the message board world, and I wrote maybe one or two reviews for albums that I felt like were good, but needed to be heard by other people, you know, but maybe weren't getting the shine on other outlets. And so I did either one or two, and then somebody sent me a private message through that message board that said, do you want to get paid for your reviews? And at the time, that seemed like an unfathomable thing. So I jumped at the opportunity. That snowballed into other doors opening. So whereas I started writing reviews for that website, I asked if they wanted interviews. Then I reached out for interviews. Then I said, do you want somebody to write news? Because I can do that too. And then I did that. And so I did that for many, many years while going to school and getting a degree for liberal studies and getting my teaching credential. And I just did that in between classes.
You ended up getting your degree. You was teaching. How was the balance of balancing your 9 to 5, or what was that day looking like from the 9 to 5, and then you're doing your passion before and after work?
Right. So 9 to 5 wasn't traditional, right? Because I would wake up super early, and then I would do maybe two news stories before going to work as a teacher. So I would do two news stories for a hip hop site. This was good for me on the West Coast because we were operating on East Coast time. So it ended up being perfect. And I did that. Then I went to work as a teacher. After my regular teaching day was done, I would go home and then maybe I would interview an artist. The next day, I would continue that same pattern, do a couple of news stories in the morning, teach, come home, and transcribe the interview. And so it was a very non-traditional day. And, you know, it was flexible. But it was fun because I got to do two things that I loved. Right. And so that's kind of how my day was.
And what led you to leaving the 9 to 5 and just going all in on the passion?
Well, at a certain point, I realized that I could give this a shot. And I knew that I could go back to teaching because in the 3 years that I taught, I also got my master's. And so I knew if writing doesn't work out, I can always go back to teaching because I have my degree, a credential, and a master's. And so I could go back to education in some form or fashion and be good. But I have this opportunity. By this time, I had, I don't know, 7 years or so of experience in rap media. Because I had done it on the side for so long that I had this rich experience. And so I knew I had an opportunity there. And so the time came and I decided to jump at it.
And so you're in the hip hop world. What were some of your influences to want to get into this type of industry?
Well, the great thing about it is that I didn't think it was an industry. I didn't really think about it as a career path. And so as I'm writing those reviews on those message boards, it wasn't maybe one day I'll be able to do this for a living. It was, I just love these albums and I want to write about them. And so it wasn't until later. So later on, I realized, oh, I have had many influences. So, you know, maybe it was Scoop Jackson when I would read Slam Magazine, or, you know, I would always pick up The Source or XXL and read through those. And so I did that because I loved the culture and I loved rap and I loved hip hop. So I just wanted to soak up all this information. I didn't know it then, but that ended up becoming the foundation for the career that I am now on. But I didn't see it as, you know, an influence for a career path. I just saw it as stuff I enjoyed reading.
And then so you were a photographer. You had all these worlds separate as a photographer and then writing as a journalist. When did that come all together? And when did you find, you know, that zone?
So I would get invited to music festivals as a rap writer. Maybe I could interview some artists at the festival and kind of shine a light on Rock the Bells or Pay Dues out in the West Coast. And whenever I would get those invites, they would say, "Do you want a photo pass?" And of course I want a photo pass, because that means I have the best seat in the house for these incredible performances, right? And so I said, sure. But at the time, I wasn't really, you know, great with the camera. I just loved photography and you know, I had fun with it, but I wasn't doing that professionally yet. So I would take my camera and I would do my best. And then I would run those images along with my recap of the festival. And separately, I ended up falling more in love with photography. And as that developed, you know, I kept that going on the side. Again, on this side, I'm doing my rap writing. And then on this other side, I'm doing my teaching. All these three worlds living in their own lands. Eventually, though, you know, a great editor, great person, Rob Markman, suggested that I just shoot the artists that I interviewed more often. I think maybe he had seen that I'd done a few things before with that. Maybe he didn't, but he saw my Instagram account and said, you have an eye. You should use it more when you're doing these interviews. And so that encouraged the combination of those worlds. So I didn't have them as separated anymore.
And what was a piece that sticks out from that time of those early days when you first put those two together, those two worlds together?
So the first one that sticks out to me was a Fashion release party in LA. He was there. He had just signed a Nas's Mass Appeal label. So Nas was there. And Aloe Black, a longtime collaborator of his, was there. And so you have these different worlds. Evidence was there, who's a great MC and also a longtime collaborator of his. And you have all of these worlds coming together, forming a really cool mixture. I'm behind the DJ booth. I'm shooting this going down. And then I'm recapping it the day after. I'm interviewing Fash. So putting all of those things together just made for such a great, memorable early experience. That might have been the first time that I really combined all of those things for you know, a platform like MTV News, no less. Highlighting an artist I respect. Highlighting some celebrated artists that also are celebrating him, and then a great project on an outlet I respected. I couldn't have asked for anything better at that moment.
And you mentioned MTV News, and somebody who's maybe an up-and-comer sees you writing for multiple outlets. How do you have that freedom to do so?
Well, at the time, I had the freedom because I was freelance. So, you know, you're not really tied down to one or the other. And, you know, I eventually became a more permanent fixture at MTV News. But at the time, I think I was still freelance. So that's how you do it. You just don't sign something that prevents you from writing to other platforms. Right. Which there are pros and cons to.
Right. And when it comes to behind the lens or behind the actual article, what are some things that happens in between those times? Like if you're going to a show and you're not necessarily shooting or the in-between stuff, like the behind the scenes that most people wouldn't see or wouldn't know if they're actually in these fields?
Well, number one, it's if people have this view of the job as something that's a dream or something that's fun, something that's fulfilling, they are right. It is a wonderful job. It is very fulfilling and it is very fun. And I don't want to diminish that. In terms of the stuff that maybe is less celebrated, I guess.
Right.
It's hard to say because I enjoy those things too. Because I enjoy taking photos and I enjoy writing for myself. You know, I enjoy these things so much that I don't really view them as like a pain, you know, or a painful part of the job. Right. But some aspects of it can be tedious. So, for example, taking a lift to a show that's far away, that's not always fun, you know, just to shoot photos for an hour or so. That's not the best to be on a car ride for 45 minutes for that 1 hour. It's not
true.
It's not always great. That part. Transcribing interviews isn't always the most fun, especially if you have like a super great long interview that's an hour long and it's phenomenal and you love every part of it, and then you have to transcribe that. That's not always fun, but you know, you learn to love these things. Yeah. I mean, if I didn't, I wouldn't do it. You know, I love teaching too, so I would just teach. Like, I love this job and I love this. I love every aspect of it. I mean, there are stuff that maybe you go, oh, I have to do that. But it doesn't ever outweigh the good. And so, you know, I would celebrate the good more than not.
Absolutely. And for someone with less experience.
Well, before we go, though, what do you think are some things that maybe people aren't seeing?
Well, when it comes to sometimes that's what I was kind of leaning into, who is someone with less experience that, and that's a quote unquote freelancer trying to get a story itself. So for you in your instance, does the story come to you or you go out to the story and pitch it to the outlet? How exactly does that work?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. That's wonderful. That's a great way to rephrase that. Yeah, typically I will pitch something, but there are also now times that a publication will reach out to me. So maybe it's somebody that is available in Los Angeles and they're in New York. They'll reach out to me and say, can you cover this artist? Can you interview this artist? Can you photograph it? Whatever the task is, they'll reach out to me in those cases. But other times, and oftentimes, I'm reaching out. So I'm creating the concept, reaching out to the publication, can I cover it? If they say yes, reaching out to management, reaching out to the artist sometimes and saying, can I do this? And then we move forward from there.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. When it comes to reaching out to get that story that you have in your mind, what's your approach when contacting either management or the artist or
the manager? So the first interview that I ever did was in 2005 after I joined this publication without any experience, right? Like through the message board and then,
right.
And then, oh, now I'm getting paid to write. So the first thing I said was, can I interview an artist? And so I looked for an artist that maybe I can reach. Mm. And at that point, this is 2005, MySpace is the big social network. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to a gentleman by the name of Jin the MC, famous for 106 in Park, Freestyle Friday champion, and phenomenal MC and great person too. Very humble person. And so I reached out to him. I did not know him at the time. He could have been mean. I didn't know. But I reached out to him and I said, I'd like to interview you for this publication. What times are available for you? And, you know, I tried to do it professional. Right. And he responded to my surprise. And we did the interview and it was great. And I have great memories of that. Mm. And, you know, it's been more than a decade since then.
Yeah.
And not too much has changed. Mm. I mean, I know more folks in the industry, so I can maybe reach out directly without going to MySpace or, you know, I guess the social media platforms.
The platform of the time, yeah.
Right. But I still can reach out to somebody like that, and we still live in that age where that happens, and I've done that. I've reached out via Twitter or via Instagram and said, I'd like to interview you for this piece about this. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? And, you know, artists are usually respectful if you're respectful. So, you know, sometimes that hasn't changed. The only thing I guess that's changed is the publications that I write for,
right,
and the people that I know that I can also reach out to. And so maybe there's some publicist that I now can reach out to and say, hey, would it be possible to interview your artist? Maybe there's a label, you know, maybe there's an artist that I can reach out to and say, hey, can I interview you? So those things have changed, but you still have to make the move.
Right. And like you said, it's been more than 10 years. It's since 2005, 13 years since you started. What are the biggest lessons that you've taken away up to this point?
The first lesson is to love what you do.
Right.
That's very important, because otherwise you won't enjoy the days, and that's not good. So very important, love what you do. The second is to work really hard at what you do. So no matter what it is, whether it's the interview, the transcription, the reaching out, the finding out who to contact, all of those things, work really hard at it. So love what you do, work really hard. The next is when I left teaching in order to write full time, I talked to Kathy, who also goes by Kath 3000. And she gave me this great advice, and she gave me the Biggie lyric, which is stay low and keep firing. And that I took I understood as stay low, meaning protect yourself, protect your integrity, you know, and just keep going, keep working at it, and then keep firing as that, like keep pitching, keep creating, you know, keep reaching out to people. So that always stayed with me. And I think I often think about that conversation. But there have been some really, really great lessons like that I continue to go by.
That's great. And to get technical a little bit, when it comes to editing software or actual types of equipment you're using, what are some of those that you're using at the moment?
Okay, so in terms of writing, it's just a laptop. And then maybe like a notebook like this, you know?
Right.
But in terms of photography, you got to have Lightroom, in my opinion. You got to have like a Photoshop. I mean, there are other apps that do similar things. So go ahead and go with whatever you feel works for you. But those work for me. And I have a Canon 5D Mark III. As like my main body.
Mm. Okay. And you said you got that notepad. So on that notepad, are you writing things like an idea that comes to mind, a shoot, or what kind of ideas come to the notepad before it comes into like full body form?
Well, the notepad is usually for interviews. I you know, I just, for whatever reason, I don't love to have my questions in my phone if I can help it.
Right.
Mind you, I still do sometimes, but I like writing my questions down in a notepad after I've typed them up and I kind of know where I'm going and I've deleted and I've added and I've done all of that, all of the editing. Then I take it to the notepad as maybe some notes. So I know I want to touch on this subject. I know I want to touch on this subject. And then when I do the actual interview, I have my notepad out instead of my phone.
And what's your approach when it comes to an interview? Like, what kind of research do you do to make sure you hit all the points that you're going for?
It depends on the type of interview that you're going for. So sometimes you're doing a full-on profile that becomes almost a biography, right? Mm. So you really have to know top to bottom, or you have to structure your questions to get to know everything. Mm. And those are great, and I love that. Then there are other interviews that are more maybe topical news interviews. And so I interviewed a director today. He directs music videos, and he just directed a like a viral sensation slash music video for a major group. So you're like, that interview is only about this specific video,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so it varies on how much research you need, what your research should focus on. But whatever it is, make sure you get that done beforehand, because you don't want to go into an interview unprepared.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is Minorities in Business. So I didn't even ask you earlier, where are you from? Like, where is your family from?
Yeah, thanks for asking. My family and I are from Bolivia.
Bolivia.
South America. We moved here when I was 5 years old, and by here I mean Los Angeles. So we moved to Hollywood, and lived there for some time, and then moved around the LA County.
All right. So how has being a minority affected you?
Okay. So two things here. Number one, I'm from Bolivia, and usually whenever I meet somebody, they say, you're the first Bolivian I've ever met, or you're the second Bolivian I've ever met. And chances are I know the other one. So, you know, coming to this country as a Bolivian, number one, part of the beauty in that was understanding the culture back home through my family. So through my brother, through my sister, my father, my mother, understanding the culture. And then the second part of that is being open to other cultures. So because I'm coming from another country, and because I understand that my culture isn't quote unquote the dominant one, I can respect yours because, you know, you're Dominican. So if I go to your home and you have food that maybe I've never seen on TV before, I can still appreciate, respect that. Because I know that if you come to my home, you will see food that maybe you don't see on TV too, right? And so there's a beauty of coming here, still understanding your culture, but then, and not forgetting that culture, but then also because there aren't a lot of Bolivians around, being able to understand and respect others' cultures around me. And growing up in Hollywood, I saw that through people from Guatemala, from El Salvador, from Mexico, people that were Black, people that were Asian, people that were Armenian, all around me, people that were rich, that were poor, etc. Coming from Bolivia and being one of the only Bolivians in the area, I could then respect and appreciate everybody for their differences and similarities, because I would want that for myself as well, right? And so there was that beauty of those two things. Respecting your culture, appreciating your culture, but respecting and appreciating everyone else's. And that's not something that I thought about back then consciously, but it's something that looking back, I can celebrate And I'm glad that it happened that way.
Absolutely. And I've never thought of it like that either when it comes to, you're pretty much not forced, but you're just by nature, you're just becoming adaptable to other cultures just because when you're growing up, I was born in New York where it was very diverse too. And then I moved to Florida where it wasn't so diverse. It was just strictly, you know, a predominantly black or white or a few Spanish trickled here and there. And looking back at it, it's like, yeah, you're forced to be able to understand whether you're playing on a basketball team and there's not a lot of other, you know, there's no Spanish basketball players in Florida, at least where I was playing. So you're forced to be able to adapt to other cultures without even realizing it. So that's something I never even thought about till you just brought that up. And just to wrap up the interview, any final words to any up and coming, you know, music journalists, photographers, or anyone that's just trying to make it in this world as a minority?
Yeah, just love what you do. Respect everybody. Be true to yourself. And I guess stay low and keep firing.
There it is. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show. This is Minorities in Business. If you want to catch Andres on social media, he has separate accounts. So it's Andres55 on Instagram and AndresWrites on Twitter.
Correct.
All right. Well, there you have it. This is Minorities in Business. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, man. Yeah, this is great. So you just started this one, right?